Paddy Power are now offering free streaming on all UK and Irish horse racing. No bet required. Just log in and watch.
Hi there. Welcome along to the Racing Post Weekend Postcast. What a weekend it is. Thanks for joining us. I'm Bruce Millington. And joining me to discuss a classic 2 days of action, all on ITV, are Paul Keighley, David Jennings and Frank the Tank Hickey from Paddy Power. We've got seven races on ITV Saturday, including Pinatubo's moment, his date with destiny in the 2,000 guineas. And then on Sunday, we've got the 1,000 guineas and loads of other great action. It really is the most explosive first weekend since the flat season made its belated return. Loads and loads of big names, some really competitive races, and hopefully the lads have had plenty of time to study up and come up with some winners. Before we do that, though, DJ, very quickly, we haven't had you on the show for ages for obvious reasons, and it's been an eventful lockdown for you because you and Aoife have now become you, Aoife, and lovely little Georgia. How's she doing?
She's doing great, Bruce. Yeah, yeah. I'm just bouncing her here on the bouncer beside me, the greatest invention of all time, a bouncer. My God, she just loves it. Yeah, so far, so good. We were lulled into a false sense of greatness at the start because she was sleeping great. She was getting about 4 or 5 hours in. Now it's back to kind of 1 or 2. So, yeah, the old tiredness is kicking in. But so far, so good.
How's the nappy changing coming along? Have you mastered it?
Oh, Olympic standard at this stage, Bruce. Yeah, at the start, I don't think I changed a nappy before. Now it's like 20 a day kind of thing.
Okay. And presumably she sleeps fantastically because if she's struggling to get off, you just read her what's going to happen in a horse race and the eyes just suddenly start closing, do they?
I just relayed my tips to her for the weekend and she was out like a light.
Brilliant stuff. Okay, well, let's get cracking then. The first race on Saturday, seven race bonanza, like I say, all on ITV. It's the 150 at Newmarket and it's the Betfair Supports Racing Welfare Palace House Stakes, a Group 3 over 5 furlongs. And Frank, give us Paddy Power's show. It's competitive, isn't it?
It is, and we're given 4 places here as well for those wanting to back each way. Judicial at the moment is 4-1 favourite. Far Above, 9-2. Mosgiel, 5-1. Major Jumbo, 11-2. Shades of Blue, 6-1. Queen's Gift, 17-2. Tarbouche, 12-1. And we're 14-1 bar.
Coming in, DJ, show us that you are the daddy. Who's going to win this?
God, I don't know if I will be here, but I think this is really open. I think with these sprints, I think they're all much of a much. I think if you ran this race on Sunday, you'd probably get a different result. The one that I think has been overpriced is Tarbouche, who might be getting on a bit. He's 7 now. But like he's rated 105, which doesn't leave him with that much to find in Judicial. He started last season off 108. Ran okay first time out last year when third at Musselburgh. He's 1-2 at Newmarket. I think it's interesting that Ushian Murphy is booked because he's only ridden the horse once before. Paul Midgley's team did okay during the week. He had 2 horses beaten just less than a length at Newcastle on Thursday. And just because I think they're all just much of a much as I'm looking for a little bit of value, I think he'll run really well. I think he'd be in the first 3. And 12-1 is very fair.
Tarbouche for DJ. Who for Paul Keighley?
Yeah, I think it is very, very tight. But Major Jumbo is the one I like. He's just got a really good record fresh. He was second in the Camish Trophy first time out last year. Then third to Mabs Cross in a better race than this last year as well. In this race, the year before we won over the track, over 5 furlongs. He's got stacks of good form to his name. It is wide open, but I don't see. You know, I would have made him almost favourite to be honest. We've got Far Above, who's the unexposed one, but he is rated just 99. Does need to make a really, really big leap to be taking these guys on.
And Frank, who's your selection going to be?
Far Above, needing to do the leap. I just think there's going to be plenty of plays here. Dark Shot likes to get on with it. Ornate's absolute bullet. And obviously, you've Major Jumbo as well. So I thought it'd be really strongly run. Far Above's only had the 4 starts, but he did some good things on the clock when he won a debut at Newmarket. Now, he disappointed over 7 furlongs behind Josh on his second start in the listed race. He bolted up in a nothing race at Windsor and then was just got up to win over 6 furlongs in the listed race at Deauville. Look, he's dropped to 5 furlongs for the first time, but like there's definitely positives about him. James Tate had a 2-year-old winner during the week. He's had several run well. I just thought in a race where most of them have shown their hand, he's won along with maybe Mosgiel that could improve an awful lot this year. And I just thought he'd be the one for me.
Okay, a tricky start. David fancies Tarbush, Kills fancies Major Jumbo, and Frank goes for Far Above. We're off and running the 225, another group race. It's a group two. It's the Betfair Dahlia Stakes over a mile and two. And the tried and tested team of John Gosden and Frankie Dettori team up with the favourite here, Frank.
Yeah, Terrabellum is 6-4, Magic Lily 2-1, Queen Power 7-2, Eva Maria 12-1, number 16 Spar.
Keels, you got a strong view on this one?
I wouldn't say I got a strong view. I mean, Terrabellum's obvious favourite. You can see why she is. She got some pretty decent form last year. She won two of her starts. A bit below form at Longchamp, but in the Group One Prix de l'Opera. So, you know, you'd forgive her that. Just say a lot of her form is on soft ground, and while the course is due to get some rain, it's not due to get anywhere near as much as Haydock. It's very, very fast on the first day. So I would just about take her on, I think. I like the look of Queen Power. Obviously, Sir Michael Stout doesn't have any peers when it comes on to bringing late maturers and fillies as well. She got some good form last year, all very solid. Didn't really stay in the Ribblesdale and fourth to Starcatcher. And I think 1 mile 2 furlong, first time out against her own sex, big shout.
Okay, Queen Power for Kills. Who for Frank?
I'd be very keen on Queen Power here. Even last year, her form was quite decent. Like, she was touched off at Ascot on her reappearance before winning at Newbury, beating Lavender's Blue. That was a decent race. Starcatcher was in behind, and Sea of Faith and Star Terms. She ran a cracker in the Ribblesdale because she pulled the whole way around, and she was still only beating four lengths over a mile and a half on soft ground. Now, she did disappoint at Windsor in last start, but you imagine if she's learned to settle at all, she's going to improve an awful lot this year. And even though on the rating she's got about £6 to find, I think there's every chance she will, and I'd be very keen her now.
DJ, who are you going to go for?
Oh, I'm making it the hat trick, Bruce said. This is one of my strongest fancies of the day. I can't believe she's 7-2 at Paddy Power. I always thought she'd make a better 4-year-old than 3-year-old, and obviously she's trained by the master of old horses in Sir Michael Stout. And if you just go back to that Lister race at Newbury last year, she beat Lavender's Blue, who is now rated 110. Starcatcher was third and unbeaten since, is now rated 115. Like, even the fifth that they see of Fate is rated 102. And the fact that we only saw her twice afterwards, as the lad said, she didn't stay in the Ribblesdale. And she was too keen, and she was too keen again at Windsor on her final start in August. To me, I think she could just do really well this year as a 4-year-old. And I just like the fact she didn't have too many runs last season. So, like the lads, I'm very sweet on Queen Power. I think 7-2 is great value.
Excellent. 3 votes out of 3 for Queen Power. A 7-2 shot. That's good. 3 o'clock Newmarket is the Betfair Exchange. Free bets streak. Newmarket Stakes over a mile and two. And again, it's Gosden and Dettori at the head of the market, Frank.
Yeah, Walt Koenig is 11-10, punctuation 7-2. Al Assi 9-2. Vulcan Stars, a mover, into 13-2. Mishrif 7-1, number 16 Spar.
Frank, you go first.
Look, the Time Boys were losing their life over Walt Koenig at Kempton. He was very impressive while actually being a bit green at the same time in the straight. He's a half brother to Wild Geese as well, so he's definitely bred for the job. The horse he beat, Zoran, ran okay, was only beaten 2.5 lengths at Newcastle behind a nice type of Roger Varians. So it's hard to know when they've only had the one run and they're all very much unexposed, but look, we'll buy into the hype and I'll follow him in.
Okay, Frank's going for the fav. Are you, DJ?
He could win and he could be a star. One of the horses I've been really looking forward to this season, like in my top kind of 3 or 4 3-year-olds to follow, would be Al Assi. I really like the run at Newmarket behind Tom Collins. Now, I know Tom Collins was beaten during the week, but just if you just get a chance to look at that run again, he just didn't have a clue what to do when he came under pressure. He kind of edged right, first of all, then he edged left, and then kind of Jim Crowley just kind of said, right, we'll give him a nice little education. And he actually started grabbing the ground coming up the hill. He was only beaten 2.25 lengths. The second was Gals Worthy, who won a maiden at Kempton under Frankie during the week. And to me, he just looks like a horse that's going to blossom a tree. He's out to see the stars. He's entered in the Derby. He's only a 20-1 shot for the Derby. He's been nibbled at big prices in the last couple of weeks for the Derby. I think he's going to show vast improvement as a 3-year-old. So I'm going to chance Al Assi against Walt Koenig.
And who are you going to go for, Keels?
Yeah, I mean, I think Walt Koenig is going to be very hard to beat. He did look really, really good at Wolverhampton. Only thing is, he's short enough based on what, at the end of the day, was still only a maiden and he's got to improve for it. And And I'm going to take a chance with Vulcan Star. Quite encouraged to see there was some money for him. He, again, looked really, really impressive when he won his maiden on his second start last year. But then blew out at Newmarket. That was on soft ground, though, behind Max Vega. He was actually reasonably well backed. Just don't think he handled it. He's better than that. And then, you know, it's an each-way race, and I think I'll take him against the jolly.
Okay, let's go on to the big race, the race we've been waiting for months and months and months. It's the 335, the Kipco 2000 Guineas, and Pinatubo, the fantastic two-year-old, an absolute aeroplane as a juvenile. Will he train on? Will he go on and become one of the legends of the game? It's so exciting to see what's going to happen to him. He's got a load of ones by his name. Will there be another one come 3:45 tomorrow? Frank, take it away with Paddy Power's betting.
Yeah, again, we're paying four places here, Bruce. Pinatubo, 4-5. Arizona, 11-2. Kamiko, 6-1. Kinross and Machita are 12-1. Al Suhail, 16-1, along with Military March. And we're 25-1, Bar.
Frank, before we get DJ's fancy, what's been the market activity on Pinatubo, both throughout the winter and in the run-up to the race? Would you say the vibes are strong or not too sure?
We laid very little at Pinatubo over the winter, but again, like when you're talking about a horse that's odds on, it's not really an attractive betting proposition, you know, months out from the race. That's not the sort of horse that we'd have end up with a big liability antepost. Like it'd be more a horse that maybe, you know, is 20-1 into, say, for example, Mogul for the Derby is one that has been a big price over the winter and it's been contracting all the time. So, like, it's very difficult to know what the vibes are. We haven't laid much. We hadn't laid much of an antepost. People have been starting to back it now in the last 10 days or so.
Okay. DJ, do you think Pinatubo will go on and become a superstar, or are you going to look elsewhere?
I do, Bruce. I think he'll win. Look, there's two questions you have to ask yourself here. Is first of all, how has Pinatubo regressed from 2-3? And if you think he has regressed, so just say he's rated 128. If you think he's regressed maybe 6 or 8 pounds down to 120, has any of the rest of them made the jump to get up to 120 to beat him? And I don't think so. Like, I know everybody's talking about his National Stakes performance at the Curragh. That day, it was a funny sort of a race that day when he beat Amory by 9 lengths. It was starting to piss rain, and it was a messy sort of race, and he was brilliant. But the day he won the Chesham, to me, when he beat Lupi Fernandez, that was awesome in my eyes. I just think he is the best horse in the race, and he'll want to have done very badly over the winter not to win it, I think. Hardly any of the rest of them interest me at all. I don't think Ballydoyle have a really decent three-year-old colt. And the only other horse I'm interested at all is Kinross. I think Kinross is the only one of the others who has the potential to be a superstar. Like, the day he won his maiden at Newmarket, like, it was really, really impressive. It really was. And, like, there was a bit of substance to the form as well. The second, Raeb, won a maiden next time out. The fifth, Vatican City, won impressively in a maiden next time out as well. And the race in Post Trophy was just a complete mess of a race. He got pampered towards the start. He was really tight in a group. And, you know, for a second start with a horse with so little experience, it was a shock to the system for Kinross. I think if he does get a little bit more space here, gets into a decent rhythm, I think Kinross is the one that'll run really, really well. But my God, he has to make a jump of £23 to beat Pinatubo. But Pinatubo for me, Bruce, and the other one that I'm going to have a chance a little bit each way on is Kinross.
Okay, that's the Vertem Futurities, it's now known, of course. Come on, DJ, it's not the Racing Post Trophy anymore. Keels, what's your view? I'm fascinated to know what your approach is going to be here.
I was looking online and just about the development of horses earlier, right? And I reckon it's each year for the first 3 years of a horse's life is the equivalent of 6 years in humans. Pinatubo hasn't run for 8 months. Now, would you back a human being at the age of 17 at odds on to win a race because of his last form when he was 13 years old? I mean, you know, so much development can happen in that space of time for a horse.
Well, think about you from 13 to 17. You went from this angelic schoolboy, didn't you, to a regular down the pub, exactly. Betting every day, full beard. So, yeah, I mean, that illustrates the point.
No hair, exactly, the whole thing. So that's the... Yeah, so that's the conundrum. For every brilliant two-year-old that comes along, there are ones that blow out. Now, Pinatubo, remember, was in action very early on last year, in May. And I think there was only six of the last 2,000 Guineas winners raced started as early as he did, right? Only three of them won a race after the Guineas, and only one of them won a race after Midsummer. Now, you've got to remember, this race is taking place a month later than it normally does. So it's another month for horses to improve. Yes, if he's as good as he was last year, he's a superstar. He's the best, you know, he's officially £2 better than Frankel was at the end of his two-year-old campaign. But he's not the biggest horse in the world, and I just have to take him on. And I thought the one that was screaming at me to beat that was going to be a top three was Cameco, who did nothing but improve. He ran a career best every start last year. Probably hasn't been given the credit he deserved for the easy win in the Vertem Futurity because it was moved to Newcastle and run on Tapita. But, you know, even though that his sire, Kitten's Joy, has a good record on Tapita, we've got to remember Kitten's Joy was a champion US turf horse, not a dirt horse. And obviously he's responsible for Roaring Lion and horses like Hawkville, who won an Eclipse. There's no reason why he isn't going to be as good on turf. And I think he's got a great, great chance. I would just like to add that I wouldn't tell people to take too much into the draw, because although high numbers near the rail were very well favoured on Thursday, it's a different track. So while the stalls are back on the stand side, it's a different track. They're playing on the stand side track, so it's completely different ground. But Cameco, I will not moan about stall 15 anyway, and I think he's got a great chance.
Okay, and Frank, what is your thought? What are your thoughts on this?
But like, if Pinatubo's even just stayed at the same level as last year, he won't be beaten. Like, he's rated 128. But again, there's so many unknowns, and to take odds on about him, it's probably not a great betting strategy, really. I can see why Paul's liking Cameco, but I just thought I was more than willing to forgive Wichita for his third in the Dewhurst. I think Soft Ground would have been against him that day. Like, if you go back to the Tattersall Stakes in the run previous over seven on better ground, it was absolutely electric, winning by seven lengths. Now, it wasn't the strongest renewal ever. Persuasion, who was second, only rated 99, but he fairly well destroyed him. And before that, he was touched off at Doncaster in a listed race by Mullatham, but it wasn't the strongest run race and it didn't suit him. I think he wanted him to go a bit harder. As I said, back on fast ground, I think he's got a decent each way chance. Like, I think he's about 12, 14 to 1. And we've got the four places as well. I'd be absolutely shocked if he's not in the four. And he's about 6 to 1 in the without market. I think that's worth a few quid as well. I actually like his claims. Like, I'd have him over Arizona myself.
Thank you very much indeed, chaps. DJ is going to keep faith with the favourite Pinatubo. Kills really likes Cameco. And Frank is keen on Wichita. That is Newmarket done. We'll do three fantastic TV races at Newcastle next.
Paddy Power are giving money back as a free bet if your horse finishes second, third or fourth in the 135 at Newcastle on Monday. Terms and conditions apply. 18+, begambleaware.org.
Welcome back to the Racing Post Weekend Postcast. It's Bruce Millington, Paul Keighley, David Jennings and Paddy Power's Frank Hickey. Let's look ahead to three ITV races supporting the Newmarket card. At Newcastle on Saturday, the first is the 205. It's over 7 furlongs. It's your Heed Your Hunch at Betway Handicap. And another got John Gosden favourite, Frank.
Yeah, Derek is 11-4. Red Bond, 11-2. Vitrolite, 6-1. Queso and Aljari are both 7-1. King of Tonga, 10-1. And we're 12-1 bar. And again, we're paying four places instead of three on this race for our D2A punters.
Good news. And that each-way concession is available at paddypower.com and also on the Racing Post app. Keels, who wins this?
Yeah, Derek will probably be hard to beat, but he has had well over a year off, so must have had a stack of problems. You wouldn't expect any horse of John Gosden's to struggle fitness-wise, but I would take a chance, I think, on King of Tonga, who ended last season with a heavy ground win at Newmarket in November. Now, that was the best bit of form it'd shown for a while, but he actually ran a career best first time out last season. I don't see any reason why he won't handle Tapita. I think this is his all-weather debut. But I think 10-1 is a fair shout.
Okay, Frank?
I liked Vitrolite for Carol Burke. He's had a few winners up at Newcastle this week. This horse won its first two starts at Haydock. The second time, conceded a penalty to Dubai Future and Joyful Mission. Dubai Future is now rated 105 and Joyful Mission rated 90. Absolutely hammered him that day. Was beaten on good to soft ground then on his third start again in the novice race. But in his handicap debut York last year, he was just caught in the line by Pogo off America 94. And then he went to Newmarket at the tail end of September and was beaten only a length off 98. He got a bit hampered at the start that day, but he's off the same mark 98 here. And I think he's well handicapped off that. I think, yeah. Look with the four places, 6-1. Yeah, I think it's probably a fair each way bet.
Keels goes for King of Tonga. Frank goes for Vitrolite. Who is David Jennings going for?
I think Darek probably should be shorter than 11 to 4, Bruce. I think that's a really fair price. Look, he's ran twice at Newcastle. He won a little novice race there, quite impressively from Dreaming Away. That form with Frank since. And then, like, finishing second, the Fox Power, who's a decent yardstick, rated 99 in the listed race there in April. Obviously, you're a little bit worried that he wasn't seen afterwards. He's been gelded since, but he's only up £7 from the mark he ran off in that listed race. And to me, off 97, when I look through all the rest of these, is there as much improvement in them as there is in Darek? I think he'll keep on improving this year. And given that proven form at Newcastle, I could see him going off a good bit shorter than 11 to 4. I think he could go off sub 2 to 1.
The 240 at Newcastle is a really fascinating contest. It's the Betway Sagaro Stakes, a Group 3 over just a shade over 2 miles, obviously normally run at Ascot. But it's one of the races that's been retained and moved to in order to keep the show on the road after the coronavirus pandemic. And we have got a real cracker here. And I think it's 4 to 1 the field, Frank, isn't it?
Yeah, we've 3 at the top of the market. It's Pellini, Roy Lyon with Holder all 4 to 1. Milton Berger and Naif Road 6 to 1. Prince of Arran 13 to 2. Rainbow Dreamer 10 to 1. And we're 14 to 1, Barry.
Who'd you like, Frank?
I'm going to go with an old favourite here and with Olds. He's won first time out the last 2 seasons. If you go back, he won the Northumberland Plate very impressively a couple of years ago. Now, that was off of America 99. But at least we know he handles the track. He's blinkers on for the first time. I was looking, there's a chance he might get the lead. And if he does, you know, and Richard Kingscote is lethal from the front, I thought he had a fair chance of winning. Like, if this is on turf, I'd probably think he might be vulnerable against Roy Lyon and Ispellini in particular. But just with his proven form at Newcastle, I thought he might be able to do it.
Well, regular listeners and viewers of the podcast will know that Withhold owes us nothing. He's been a real favourite. So Frank's keeping the faith in him. David, who do you think will win this?
Oh, Roy Lyon wins this, Bruce. I don't think he's that far off a Group 1 stay, or I really don't. If you get a chance, listeners, go and have a look at the race on Champions Day, the Long Distance Cup. Like, he's running against Stradivarius and Kew Gardens, the two best stayers, favourite and second favourite for the Gold Cup. And he's last off the bridle that day. Last off the bridle against stayers like those. He was beaten 5 lengths in the end. Robert Havlund didn't give him a hard time once his chance had gone. Everything about Roy Lyon to me suggests that he is a Group 1 stayer. Like, he goes well fresh. He's won after a layoff 109 days. He's won off a layoff in a couple of seasons. Now, he's a little bit fragile, which obviously makes him a little bit vulnerable. But I think in a race like this, when he's running against horses that I think he's more ability than, I think the surface at Newcastle should be fine. He's never ran there, but he strikes me as the type that should be fine on it. And again, if he just repeats that performance, he's twice posted RPRs of 115. That's more than good enough to win this race, I think. And Bruce, I'd be bitterly disappointed if Roy Lyon doesn't win.
I love it when any of you three press the turbo button and really tip strongly and confidently like that. You make a great case. Keels, who are you going to go?
Frank basically took all the words out of my mouth. I think that Withhold's got a great chance. Obviously likes the track, won the Northumberland Plate really, really comfortably. That's obviously in his favour and goes well fresh.
What's your view of Royal Lyon, Keels?
Hey, he's got a shout, all right. But I wouldn't be running away with him. 6-year-old with a stack of problems behind him.
Can I ask you a quick question, Bruce? Have you mellowed in the lockdown? Because I could be wrong, but I think Paul Keighley did say when we were previewing the 2000 Guineas that Pinatubo was not the biggest horse in the world.
He did say that. I've completely mellowed yet. So I don't worry about VAR anymore or you know, people saying not the biggest horse in the world. No, you are right there, DJ.
If Pico. I said that, I'd be a man, Joy.
No, you wouldn't anymore, mate. I'm a new man. Honestly, say what you like. Honestly, it's fine. Right, the 3:15 at Newcastle is the Betway Heed Your Hunch handicap over a mile. And yes, Mr. Gosden has another favourite, and he's odds on, Frank.
Yeah, Palace Pier is 8-11, Acquitted 4-1, Gravity 4, 7-1, Minotsky 12-1, and 14-1 bar.
DJ, will you be looking beyond the Fav?
You're going to be really happy with me here, Bruce, because I'm going to take very little time. He's rated 98 Palace Pier, even if he's not working well, which reports suggest that he's not. Like, Lord, holy God, he has to be better than 98 rated horse. So yeah, he just wins, Bruce.
Does he just win, Keels?
I hadn't heard anything about him not working well, but I mean, he looked pretty special when he ran twice at Sandown last year. Be interesting to see how he does go in the market, but I wouldn't be in a rush to oppose him. I'm assuming he's running in a handicap purely because they want to get a run into him, and it's a reasonable mark. But he's going to be better than a handicap for sure.
But DJ, are you just passing on tittle tattle there, or has that come from such a firm source that you feel it's worth passing on?
No, just the fact that he's not going for the guineas, and you know, just the low key approach to going for a handicap. Maybe Keels is right. I just thought the vibes that you're getting reading different little stories about Palace Pier, they weren't exactly singing from the rooftops about him, but I don't think it matters in a race like this.
Frank, are you going to back the favourite as well?
Look, probably wouldn't be backing, but I definitely wouldn't want to be taking him on. I'm not sure it's even got to do with his work. I just think the St. James Palace has been the aim, and this fits in better. I get him a nice little prep, particularly off the mark. You know, when you're looking at, if he'd had a hard race in the guineas and gets beaten by Pinatubo, he could leave the race at Ascot after him. So I think that's probably the thinking behind it. And yeah, you couldn't oppose him off America 98. Like, he's going to be rated at least £15 higher in about 3 weeks' time, I'd be guessing.
Okay, thank you very much. That's the TV action all sorted. We've also got another meeting at Lingfield, and obviously we've got the undercards at Newcastle and Newmarket. Is there anything you boys want to flag up before we do the naps? DJ?
Not particularly, actually, Bruce, no.
Okay, fine. Keels?
No, 7 races is good enough for me.
And Frank?
Funny enough, I have nothing either, Bruce.
I'm delighted to hear it. Let's get the naps. Take it away, Steve.
This will not be beaten.
Right then, David Jennings, what's your nap?
Oh, definitely Royal Line 240 Newcastle.
Paul Keighley?
Yeah, I'm going Kamiko in the guineas, which is 335 each way. Won't be out of frame.
Lovely stuff. And Frank?
Newmarket 225 Queen Power.
Great stuff. Thank you very much indeed, gents. That is Saturday done. We'll do Sunday next.
Paddy Power are now offering free streaming on all UK and Irish horse racing. No bet required. Just log in and watch.
And Postcast, it's Bruce Millington, Paul Keighley, David Jennings and Paddy Power's Frank Hickey. The classic action continues on Sunday. It's 1,000 guineas day at Newmarket, and there's also 3 great races at Haydock. 7 races in all on ITV, presented from Ed Chamberlain's living room. It will be fantastic, and the action kicks off at 1:50 at Newmarket with the Betfair Exchange Buckhounds Stakes. It's a listed race over 1.5 miles. Frank, how do Paddy Power bet on this?
A communique is 3-1 first in line, 4-1 Trushan, 9-2 Failak, 6-1 Secret Advisor, 8-1 Ghostwatch, 10-1 and we're 14 bar.
Interesting race to start with, Kills. Who are you going to go for?
Yeah, I mean, there's plenty of interesting ones that could come up, but I mean, I think in terms of price, you can get a better value favourite than 3-1 communique. He is a Group 2 winner, officially £6 best in the race. He's run 4 times on Newmarket's course. He's twice on the Roly Mile, twice on the July course. His full figures are 1-1-1-1. He's beaten horses like Mirage Dancer in a Group 2, giving that one £3 in the Prince of Wales in 2019. Beat Defoe by a length and a quarter last year. Defoe went on and won the Group 1 Coronation Cup afterwards. And he's 3-1. Best form in a race. Impeccable course form. Has to be back to 3-1.
You boys are going to have to go some to make a more compelling case than that. Frank, give it a go.
I just pressed copy and paste, Bruce. Exactly what Keel said there. Like, the only thing I could probably add is that Mark Johnson's had a flying start. He's 3-1. I'd be surprised to be 3-1 when this is priced up properly.
2 for communique. 3 for communique, DJ.
Yeah, plagiarism at its best here, Bruce. 6 bullet points. I had 4 from 4 Newcastle. Beat the 4 over course and distance last year. £6 clear in official ratings. Ryan Moore booked. Johnson in form. Drawn perfectly in stall 10. What's not to like?
Easy game. 225 at Newmarket is the Betfair Exchange betting play handicap. Frank, take it away with a show of betting and then tell us who you fancy.
With joint favourites in Davidenko and Good Birthday, both at 5-2. Desert Icons, 130. West End Charmer, 8-1. And we are 12-1 bar. Davidenko is a horse I've had on my radar as one I thought could improve again this year. He's only been beaten once last season in 5 starts. That was in the Britannia when he sweated up badly before. They say the occasion really got to him. He was only 10-1 for that, but he'd won 2 novice races going into it. And afterwards, he had a bit of a break for about 2 months. And he won at Newmarket on Good to Firm Ground off a mark of 90 very easily, and then followed up at Doncaster, stepped up to 10 furlongs, making all the running, and he won again off 98. And he's got another £7, but I thought he'd improve again for four. I know it's cliche, but it's, you know, it's your Michael Stout four-year-old, you're thinking to improve again. It's a competitive little handicap, but I thought he's the kind of horse that could end up winning a Group 3 this year, at least. So, yeah, he's not much a value at 5-2 potentially, but I thought he was the most likely winner.
David Jennings, who's your selection?
I completely agree with Frank. This is a disaster. Well, it could be good, obviously. I thought Davidenko was the standout one here. Like, you know, he started last season. He was 12-1 for that race at Windsor, which suggested to me he wasn't the finished article. He won quite impressively that day. He won three of his next four starts. Sure, he knew going into the stalls at Ascot he wasn't going to win. Sure, he was white with all the sweat. And even last time at Doncaster off 98, like, he won so snug that day. I know he was 11-10 favourite. He was expected to win, but it really was snug. There was some decent performers behind him that day, including Desert Wind. I think he should be favourite. And off a mark of 105, like Frank said, I think there's loads of improvement to come this year as a four-year-old.
Who's your selection going to be, Keels?
Yeah, I just like to say Cut and Paste, the other two, really. I mean, you know, I was spending a few days nibbling away at Davidenko for the Britannia. And, of course, that's the only race out of five he didn't win last year. He looks, you know, he looks all ends up with group horse in the making. So there's your double, roughly about 13-1, I think. Davidenko and Communique.
Easy, excellent stuff. I love all this agreement. Let's see if the boys are going to agree on our next race, sponsored by the British Parrots Association. It's a 3 o'clock. It's the Pretty Polly Filly Stakes, actually sponsored by Betfair EBF. Over a mile and two, and this is open, Frank, isn't it?
It is, yeah. Tiempo Vuelo is 7-2 favourite at the moment. Run Wild, 4-1. Alpen Rose, 11-2. Queen Daenerys, 6-1, along with Snow Shower. Moonlight in Paris is 7-1. Endless Echoes, 15-2, along with Trefoil. And We Are 50s, The Outsider.
I will be very surprised if the boys all put up the same horse here. DJ, who are you going to go for?
Yeah, this is really open, Bruce. This is probably the toughest race of the day, I thought. Yeah, the one I'm going to chance here is Queen Daenerys for Roger Varian, who, like a lot of the top trainers, has started the season quite well since racing resumed. I think with Queen Daenerys, I think she's crying out for a step up and trip. Like, she never went beyond a mile last year, but even in the Fillies Mile when she was 6th to quadrilateral, it was just in that final furlong she was really, really getting going. And when she won her maiden at Newmarket, it was the same sort of story. She knuckled down and it was stamina that won the day. Like, her performance behind Cloak of Spirits obviously reads well now, first time out at Ascot. She's had a wind operation. And in an open race, I thought she was probably a little bit of value at around about 6-1.
Keels, are you going to agree with DJ?
No, but not with any... Not with any confidence. I mean, look, it's a massive guess up. We've got five once race winners in the race. All need to improve to beat the form horses. And it's anyone's guess. One thing to say is John Gosselin must have some power in the Filly Stakes, mustn't he? I mean, he won a novice race with Frankly Darling the other day, 5 lengths. That's his shortest price contender for the Oaks so far. He's got 3 in the Oaks trial today. He's got 3 in the Pretty Polly, which is another Oaks trial. And they are, you know, he's got two of the first three in the betting. Well, the first two in the betting, in fact. One I've half got an interest in is Endless Echoes. Only won a modest maiden on the all weather in Wolverhampton in January. Just kind of find it fascinating. The Mikael Basel owner's over to ride it. He's not riding for the Godolphin in the Guineas. He's not riding on Saturday. He can't be coming over later in the year to ride it anywhere over here unless he comes over 2 weeks in advance. And you know, it makes me wonder whether they've got a big plan for this horse in France, maybe the Prix de Diane, something like that. Just wonder. That's all. It'd be a total guess, but that's what you're doing when you've got horses this lightly raced.
Endless Echoes for Keels. Frank, who's your selection going to be?
Yeah, it's a very interesting race, but like, Rafe Beckett hasn't had the greatest start for his runners this week. They've been running a little bit below form, but he's a trainer I'm a massive fan of, even if I thought he let himself down a little bit there with the Hullabaloo, but racing there a few weeks ago. But this Trefoil was impressive, I thought, when she won on debut at Newmarket. Like, the time was nothing out of the ordinary, but the form has worked out well already, despite only 5 horses running from it. The third was touched off in the maiden, the fourth and seventh have won maidens, and even the horse that finished last won a handicap off a mark of 67. In the race itself, she did plenty wrong. She pulled early, got to near the front. She was kind of settled in, you know, jostling for the lead for a furlong or two, but she was very strong in the final furlong. She really cleared away from them, and from a family that the trainer knows well, she'd definitely appreciate the step up in trip. Like Ida March is potentially an Oaks horse. My one worry would be the trainer form, but at around, I think we're 15 to 2 and there's 10 to 1 out there, it's probably worth taking a chance at that sort of price. I thought she'd be shorter, to be honest. If the trainer was in form, I think she'd be much shorter.
Lovely stuff. So DJ goes for Queen Daenerys Kills. Without the greatest confidence, goes for Endless Echoes. And Frank goes for King Rafe and Trefoil. 3:35, the big race of the day. The Kipco 1,000 guineas over a mile. Quadrilateral heads the market for Roger Charlton and Jason Watson. What price are you, Frank?
Well, we're paying 5 places here for the each way punter. So great value there.
5 places.
5 places,
unbelievable.
Yeah, so if you're looking for an each way bet, there you go. Quadrilateral's 9-4. Love 7-2. Mill Oil 5-1. Cloak of Spirits 8-1. Raffle Prize 9-1. Boomer 12-1. And we're 16-1 bar.
Kills, you've got to love 5 places in a 15 runner race, haven't you?
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah, you've just got to play, haven't you? A little bit worried about how much rain there'll be, but there's a couple I like in the race, and the one I don't like is the Fav. I mean, everyone's raving on about Quadrilateral, but she was actually left for dead at the furlong just before the furlong pole by Powerful Breeze. He went too soon in the Fillies Mile last year. Now Quadrilateral, that was on good to soft ground. The ground could be faster, and she didn't handle the dip there. So I'm not particularly interested in her and that sort of price. I'll take 2 against the field. One of them is Cloak of Spirits for Richard Hannon. She looked a potential superstar when she won very easily. Actually hammered that Queen Daenerys at Ascot in July. And she was made 6-4 favourite for the Mayhill afterwards. Didn't show her running, but much better when a half length third in the Rock fell. I think she's still got plenty of potential. We know Richard Hannon gets his horses ready early in the season, has plenty of big price big price winners and placed horses in both guineas in the past. The stable has, so we'll give him a go. And Boomer is the other one. Boomer just went too hard in that race behind Quadrilateral in the Fillies Mile last year, and on ground I don't think she particularly liked. It will be faster than it was at Newmarket last year. You can be pretty much sure of that. She's only a length behind Powerful Breeze, really giving her best. And with a bit of luck, there'll be a bit of wind behind her to help. You don't know quite what's going to happen. It's going to be windy, and she'll be up near the front. I think she's got a chance with Tom Dascombe.
Which directions are they racing when they go at the Rolling Mile Kills?
They are racing from north to... they're racing in a sort of southwesterly direction, I think.
All right, okay, fair enough. Thank you very much.
Southeasterly direction.
Oh, southeast.
They start in the northwest and come back down towards the southeast, I think.
Okay, brilliant. So check the wind speed. Frank, who are you going to go for in the 1,000 guineas?
Yeah, I'd be thinking along the same lines as Keels there. Like, as in Quadrilateral, I think she's a definite lay at that sort of price. Like, if you go back to the Phillies Mile, they just went too hard. She benefited from her position. Powerful Breeze, while she travelled the best, again, she was probably benefited by her position. The horses who were prominent that day, you could definitely upgrade them. Boomer was among them. Love, they were the two I was kind of interested on. Love's been absolutely smashed up in the market the last 10 days. Boomer's the one I've had a few quid on. Like, if you echo what Paul said, her length second to Powerful Breeze. Like, Powerful Breeze would arguably be favoured if she was running here, and Boomer was only a length off her. The ground is definitely a big thing for her. Hopefully they don't get too much rain. I'm just looking there. If the temperatures stay high, even the rain that's forecast shouldn't change it too much. And if it's on the fast side, it's a plus for her. I think she's got a right chance. Yeah, with 5 places, particularly 12-1, I'd be disappointed if she doesn't hit the 5, but I think she's got a right chance. And between Love and her, for me, Quadrilateral is a massive lay.
Okay, no love for Quadrilateral so far. DJ, are you going to put that right?
I cannot believe this. I have been telling everybody that will listen to me since last October, including people at Cheltenham when we're in the middle of the jump season, that they needed the back Boomer for the 1,000 guineas. And I said, at least I'd be the only one on the podcast now that'll be tipping it. And now the lads have tipped it. Look, I just absolutely love Boomer. I fell in love with her the day she won her maiden at Newbury. She quickened twice that day against a newcomer of Godolphin's called Deep Snow, who we haven't seen since, but I think could be very, very useful. Next time out at Goodwood, under hands and heels from Richard King's coach, she beat Dark Lady really impressively. She just lacked the tactical speed of Powerful Breeze, I thought, in the Mayhill at Doncaster. And again, like you talk about the jockey going too early on Powerful Breeze at Newmarket in the Filly's Mile. Like, I'd say Richard Kingscote would love to have that ride back again. Like, he kicked on three out when there was really no need. He could have just sat on the pace and then tried to take it up two out. Like, he pinched a kind of a length and a half lead when there was no real need to, I thought. Rightly or wrongly, in a race like this, with the season that's in it, I want a battle-hardened two-year-old from last season, one that can cope with the hustle and bustle of a race like this, one that's got loads of experience, one that knows how to race, and it's not going to be a shock to the system, the pace to go here. Boomer's going to be able to sit with the pace. The ground is going to be perfect. Stall 7 is ideal. I was absolutely thrilled to see that that Tom Dascombe had a winner during the week, because it just shows that his stable are in decent enough form coming back. And I'm all over Boomer, Bruce.
What price did you back her at?
25s, 20s and 16s.
And you were telling everyone at Cheltenham about this, yeah?
Yeah, our very own Tom Siegel. I've been texting him over the last
couple of weeks. How many hours do you think we spent in each other's company at Cheltenham? It's a fair bit, wasn't it?
It was a fair bit, but I did give you Aramis.
Not a bloody word. Not a word.
Sorry about that, Bruce.
Bruce, can I just back up what Dave was saying there, just with the experience angle? I was just going through the race in detail last week, and experience is massive. Like, if you look at the number of runs the winner had coming into the Guineas the last 10 years, it's been 7, 9, 4, 5, 5, 4, 7, 13, 3, and 5. So one horse in the last 10 years has only had 3 runs coming into the Guineas and once. That must be a negative for the likes of Quadrinatural and Cloak of Spirits, and there's a couple of rags. It's a massive thing, I think.
Great stuff. Don't you worry, DJ. There's still plenty of meat left on that bone. So, an incredible postcast preview there. 4 races at Newmarket on Sunday. The boys all go for Communique. They all go for David Anka, and they all go for Boomer. So, make of that what you will. There are also 3 races live from Haydock on Sunday. Before we look at them, Kills, I suppose we better alert a sort of weather warning, haven't we? Because obviously Haydock seems to be the race course that gets the most weather turbulence, if you like, or uncertainty out of all of them. And sure enough, the forecast means that, you know, whatever we say now, 48 hours before the race, could change, couldn't it?
Well, yeah, it could change. And Haydock's one of those tracks where in the past it's been good to firm. They've had 5 mil and they've called it soft by race time. So, you know, it's one of those, the forecast is not good, but you don't know whether you're actually going to get it. And we don't know what state the ground is. It could be extremely fast and therefore not get in too much, or it could have had a fair bit of water on it. You'd imagine everywhere's been watering because we haven't had any rain for ages. And if they get 10 mil, it could turn soft. So, yeah, a bit of a worry.
Okay, well, keep your eye on the skies before you put your money down at Haydock. But the races there are fascinating. The first is the 205s, the Betway Pinnacle Stakes, over nearly a mile and a half. Frank, take it away with Paddy Power's betting and then tell us who you think is going to cross the line in front.
Yeah, Fanny Logan's 2-1, Manuela de Vega 5-2, Vivian 7-2, Charlene 6-1, Bellavita 10-1, and 16-1, the Rag Lady of Shalott. I'm just going to keep it simple and go with Fanny Logan for John Gosden. She can see the penalty, a £3 penalty here, but she's first signing off on ground. She is stepping up to a mile and a half. She had been running mainly over 10, but like, she ran really well in the Breeders' Cup Filly and Mare at Santa Anita. She's only beaten 3 1/4 lengths. And with the Beckett stable out, well, that made a quiet start, we'll say, when once out of form. Like, Manuela de Vega's obviously a horse I really like, but I just think Fanny Logan's the safer option here.
DJ, who's your fancy?
Fanny Logan. If you go through her form, I think most of her form lines in the last couple of runs are good enough to win this. And even that run in the Breeders' Cup at Santa Anita, like, I thought that effort could be upgraded a little bit because she was pushed very wide on the home turn under Frankie. She was only beaten just over 3 lengths. Like, the form prior to that, very, very solid at Newmarket, beat Queen by a length when odds on. And if it does rain, like, does that Salisbury win by 7 lengths, a listed race when she beat Sandshare? So, like, there's very little negatives of Fanny Logan, I think.
Kills, are you also keen on Fanny Logan?
I think I'm going to have this multiple as well. I mean, I like her because, in fact, she's a winner. And Manuela de Vega isn't. And, you know, they're the two clear form horses in the race. She just kept winning last year. She actually showed her best form when she absolutely romped away with a soft ground listed race at Salisbury. But as Frank said, she ran in the Breeders' Cup. That was on firm ground. At Santa Anita, and she ran really well to finish 4th from that Grade 1. There's nothing not to like about her. I think she's had a world of beating.
Okay, the ridiculously high quality weekend continues with the 240 at Haydock. Normally, this race takes place, obviously, at Sandown. It's the Betway Brigadier Gerard Stakes. It's a Group 3 over a mile and two. Sangarius for Stout and Tuddock at the head of the market, Frank.
Yeah, he's 5-2, Ellercam 11-4, Lord North 4-1, Telecaster 13-2, Bangkok 7-1, and we're 10-1 bar.
What a belter this is, David.
Yeah, it is a hell of a race. And do you know what? It's actually one of my favourite races of the year, usually, like when it's run at Sandown. I love that evening. But it's great that they've managed to rescue it. I can't understand the betting here. I know Sangarius is supposed to run today that we're filming on Friday, but surely Ellercam is the best horse in this race. Like, even at the start of the season, when you're kind of looking ahead to the flat before kind of lockdown set in, I was thinking Brigadier Gerard, perfect for Ellercam. Obviously, it's a different track now, but I don't think Haydock should make any difference. Like, a couple of them form lines from last season, particularly that really impressive win over Adeb on soft ground in the Sky Bet Your Stakes. Like, that was a cracking performance. Regal Reality was back and forth, fifth. I just thought he was over the top. I actually fancied him for the Irish Champion Stakes, and everything went right. And just, you know, was his seventh run of the season. He'd ran an absolute cracker in the Judmont International behind Japan and Crystal Ocean. And I just thought it was just one race too many for Ellercam. If he comes back in the same sort of form that he was in, like in the first and middle of last season, he's rated 120. He's going to be very hard to beat.
Where's your money going to go, Kiehl's?
Yeah, interesting this. I mean, more worried about Sangarius here than I would have been in running over a mile today, funnily enough. I couldn't understand why I even bothered entering him on a mile over on fast ground, given just how impressive he was over a mile and two on soft at Royal Ascot last year. Problem with him is he's had a whole year off. He badly needed his first run last year. He's obviously had a problem to have a year off as well. And like Dave said, Ellercombe's officially rated £7 higher. He's got some very, very solid form with a clear run. He might actually have won the Job Money International last year. So, again, another favourite who I think looks very, very solid.
You're going to go Ellercombe, Kiehl's, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. He's not even favourite with Paddy Power.
He's not even favourite with Paddy Power. He's favourite with most people. Paddy got that one wrong.
All right. Perhaps you, Frank, what have you got to say about that?
it is wrong, to be fair. Oh, you have him clear favourite. Like, exactly what the lads are saying. Like, Sangarius, I'm really disappointed he's not running today because I was all out to get him. I thought he was absolutely brilliant late. The price was at, like, 7-4, 13-8. I thought, like, a mile on fast ground, just he was there for the taking. But here, like, hey, look, if there's one track that you have fast ground with rain overnight and you want to be betting on, Haydock is the one you definitely don't want to be. Because as Paul said already, like, a bloody spit could change it from good to firm to heavy, the way that place is. But at the same time, Ellercam, he's won on fast ground, he's won on soft ground, so he's very versatile. I actually think with a clear run, he'd have won the International at York. Luckily, he didn't because he was a massive loser for us on the day. It was a good result to get him beaten. But he's just a class horse in the race. As I said already, Mark Johnson's horses are flying it. He was beaten first time out last year, but I wouldn't be overly worried about that. He should be clear favourite, I'd say. When people revisit this, he will be clear favourite.
This is astonishing. So we've got five of our six races that you all agree on. Communique, Davidenko, Boomer, Fanny Logan and Ellercombe. We could bring the bookmaking industry to its knees here with a spectacular multiple. And we've still got one race to come. It's the 3:15 at Haydock. It's the Betway Spring Trophy. Over 7 furlongs. You're not going to all agree on this one. This is too wide open. Frank, take it away.
Yeah, Space Blues 3-1. Happy Power 6-1 along with Mubtaz and Safe Void 7-1. Dubai 8-1 along with Lord of the Lodge and we're 12-1 bar.
Kiehl's, take it away.
Yeah, I do like one. I do like one here. It's not the favourite, Space Blues. Not sure about him if the rain comes. Now, Happy Power for me is crying out for a drop back to 7 furlongs. He was beaten by one of these Safe Voyage at Haydock last year, but first time out last year, he absolutely hacked up on soft ground. He won again in a small field over a mile that I don't think he gets that well. But, he was fourth in the Sussex Stakes, and after that just ran a mile all the time, travelled really well in the QE2 at Ascot, didn't stay. I think Fresh, given Andrew Balding's form at the moment as well, absolutely flying. He's got a massive, massive chance. Obviously, Safe Voyage is 4 from 4 at the track on easy ground. So he's one to worry about. But I think Happy Prowl will be absolutely primed, and I think he's got a massive chance.
Okay, Frank, who are you going to go for?
It completely depends what happens with the ground, Bruce. Like, if they didn't get that much rain and it was on the fast side, Space Blues is one I'd be interested in. But if it rains at all and the ground gets on the east side, I couldn't have him. So I wouldn't be getting involved until Sunday morning in this race. But if it does rain and the ground turns off, I'm with Keels here, Happy Power. Very impressive soft ground twice last year. This race is just perfect. 7 furlongs, soft ground. The yard bombing, yeah. He'd be the one, depending on ground, but if it's soft ground, yeah, he'd definitely be the one for me.
Okay, and DJ, who are you going to go for?
No, I'm with Safe Voyage, Bruce. I'm going to take the lads on. He beat Happy Power twice last year. Just think he's probably just a better horse than him. Like that third in the QE2 to King of Change. Now, he was probably flattered a little bit. It was a typical Jamie Spencer ride out the back and picked up the pieces to finish third. But 4 from 4 at Haydock, if it rains, I'd say he'll go off favourite, to be honest with you, if it rains. And if there's any soft in the going description at all, he will go off favourite. He's rated 114, which puts him on a par with Happy Power and Space Blues. I do like Space Blues as a horse. I thought he could be a bit of a star sprinter, something like the Diamond Jubilee this year. But with the rain forecast and given his record at Haydock, I'd imagine John Quinn has had this race on his mind for quite a while for Safe Voyage. So Safe Voyage for me.
Okay, thank you very much, chaps. And obviously, although it is very easy to get very excited about the fact that the boys agree on 5 of our 7 TV races, don't forget, don't go mad. Please only bet with money. You can afford to lose. Racing Post promotes safe gambling. Thank you very much, chaps. I'll trouble you for a Sunday nap before we go. DJ?
Oh, Boomer and the Guineas, Bruce.
Keels?
I'll take Happy Power at Haydock if they get the rain.
Okay. And Frank?
Newmarket 150, Communique.
Communique. Thank you very much indeed, gentlemen. It is an exciting weekend. Kills, what are you going to do? Get stuck in and just wallow in the fact that racing is back?
No, I'm going to watch plenty of racing, no doubt about that. Nothing else planned, though. Can't go down the pub, and I'm working.
How much are you missing a pint of Guinness?
Oh, massively, mate. I've not had one since March the 20th.
My goodness me. That share price is sinking all the time. DJ, I suppose if there's nothing exciting anymore for you, is I barely need to ask you about weekend plans, do I? You're just sitting there cooing at little Georgia and changing nappies and being a good husband and father.
Yeah, I don't know if Frank will agree, but one of the most amazing things that I didn't think I would enjoy as much as I do is actually bringing her for a walk. It's like, it's not like going for a walk, because if you go for a walk on your own, you look like an idiot because people will be looking at you going, why isn't he running, the lazy fecker? But if you're actually pushing a buggy, it actually looks like, oh, look, he's a really good daddy. And you just get time to just thoughts to yourself and just get to enjoy it. And you've got a little daughter. So I really like bringing her for walks. I could bring her for 10 walks a day if Aoife had let me, but she won't.
Oh, fantastic. Sounds like you're loving being a dad. And that is great news. And Frank, what about you? What have you got for the weekend?
I'm working all weekend, so I'll be busy enough, not off until Monday. So on Monday, I'll just get handed Oliver and she'll go off for the day. But yeah, I'll just be working and maybe try and spend an hour with him in the evenings then before he goes to bed.
Great stuff. Thank you very much indeed for your expertise, Paul, David and Frank. Thank you for listening. Don't forget, if you enjoy these shows, please make sure to rate, review and subscribe wherever you are listening to us. The lovely Maddie Whale will make a welcome return to Postcasts on Monday. Looking back on the classic weekend of action. Don't forget, gamble responsibly and we'll see you soon.
Paddy Power are giving money back as a free bet if your horse finishes second, third or fourth in the 135 at Newcastle on Monday. Terms and conditions apply. 18 plus, begambleaware.org.